Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, this morning, the ESRI has warned that the government's targets are too low to meet population growth. The think tank examined the National Development Plan and they found that housing is one of the key areas where more investment is needed. So why has the housing crisis been such an intractable problem so far? And do the policies of political parties have the power to lower house prices? And should it matter if your home falls into negative equity? Well, for more on this, we're joined by Kevin Cunningham, who's lecturer in politics at TU Dublin and founder of Ireland Thinks, and also John Moran, the former chair of the Land Development Agency and former Secretary General at the Department of Finance. And you're both welcome. Thank you for coming in today. John, the ESRI saying this morning the existing housing targets are underestimating the need. I don't think that's a surprise to most people. We were aware of that. There have been several government plans put in place to solve that, but none of them so far have shifted us out of crisis mode. Now, as someone who's overseen the implementation of housing policies, you've seen many of them come and go. Do you think any political party would have the power to shift the dial?
Well, I guess it depends. First of all, thank you for inviting me and Happy New Year to you and all of the team and the listeners. Like, if you can still say that in the middle of January. Look, at the time Housing for All was announced, right, a number of people, myself included, but much more learned people than me, said that we had undercut this target, set to 30,000. And that's really important because now, a couple of years later, we're sort of seem to be admitting that. And if you want to change the dial, you can change the dial on day one by getting the targets right. You mightn't be able to wave a magic wand and have houses straight away. But if you know you need 60,000 homes and you say you're only targeting 30,000, you're basically telling everybody we're in a housing shortage for a decade, which means that people who own houses don't want to sell because they think it's going to go up. People who buy panic and they want to buy, so they don't want to stay on in their bedroom if they can another year. And investors overpay today for it. If you flip it in the other direction, if you credibly say by year five, by year six, we can actually have 100,000 homes, for example, coming into the market by getting new builders, new developers. Now, today, I know that I only have to hang out in the bedroom for 5 years. It's tough, but at least I know house prices are coming down. Everybody knows that, and so do investors. So guess what? They pay less today than they were prepared to pay in the first scenario.
What's the point in setting a target that you know you can't meet?
No, but you have to meet it. It's like running a 10K. If you think you can't run a 10K in 50 minutes and you set your target at 60, guess what? You'll run it in 59. Mm-hmm. If you set it at 50, you might actually run it at 45. So if you know you need more, by definition, you can't scale the plan to what you can deliver today. You have to scale a plan to what you need to deliver.
Okay, so you have to have the ambitious
target.
So if
we're having more kids coming into our primary schools, we have to build more primary schools because they're coming. Mm-hmm. We can't magic those today. Okay. And that's really the important piece that's been missing up to now.
And Kevin, we know that last month the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald suggested that house prices in Dublin should fall to 300,000. That would be a drop in the average of 130,000. Some people, because of that, if that policy were to come to pass, would slide into negative equity. And that was raised by Leo Varadkar and by the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien as a major concern. But you conducted polling for the Sunday Independent on this, and you found that people support it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we asked a question, which was the current average price for a house in Dublin is 430,000. Is it desirable that the average price should fall to 300,000? And 69% of the population said yes, 20% said no. It was a particularly interesting result. What we could also see that renters and those that lived at home with their parents, both 85% were in agreement with this. Those that lived in council houses, 92% were in agreement with this. And even owners, people who owned their own home, actually 62% were in agreement with this.
But the support dropped in certain cohorts.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So one particular demographic for which was less supportive were higher income males with mortgages. So that particular demographic was significantly less likely to support Fine Gael voters, naturally enough, because perhaps they've engaged with this topic as well, were also less likely to support this issue. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, and perhaps that's a demographic that is more populist in relation to the political system. Maybe politicians are more engaged with these higher income males and mortgages, and perhaps they've misunderstood or misplaced the public in relation to this issue.
But in general, the fear of negative equity is not huge. Is that what you found?
No, it's definitely not huge. A follow-on question we asked was, would you like property prices to go down, even if, where applicable, that meant that the value of your own home fell? Mm-hmm. And for which, again, 63% were in agreement, and only 16% opposed. It actually isn't that surprising a result, because even very similar questions were asked in the UK, obviously a little bit narrower because the scale of the negative equity in the UK is actually quite extreme. But again, within Britain, 55% agreed with the idea of house prices, with the idea of home building, even if that meant house prices were going to fall, compared to 22% disagreed with this.
When a politician says something like that, I think the initial reaction from many people might be, well, you can't do that, that won't work. But if you put it on the agenda, does it then become almost self-fulfilling? You know, when we're in an election cycle here, do voters start to expect that that is possible?
Well, I suppose to just think about it, right? So, I mean, this is what we were fully in agreement on the way into the studio, right? Our Irish house prices are overpriced at the moment relative to our incomes. So nobody would tell you, other than maybe somebody who's selling overpriced houses, that it's a good idea for an economy or a community or a society to have assets that are too expensive. Mm-hmm. So we all agree they should come down. And I think that's the most important message. It shouldn't have been newsworthy when a politician came out and said we should bring down overpriced houses to a level, right? The real problem is, how do we get there, right? And I think fundamentally Ireland as a nation has a heart, right? So we all, and that's why I'm not surprised by these results. I mean, we all know as homeowners, I'm a homeowner, that our value may go down, but there are other people that are suffering and we need to actually help them. And so I lose a bit, others gain. And remember, since the last crisis, Irish household wealth was 500 billion or so collectively. And it has gone up by 500 billion in 10 years. Most of that is homeownership. So house prices have gone up a lot. If they go down a little bit, actually most people who own houses aren't going to suffer too much. On negative equity, it's really important that what we saw in the last crisis was, while people thought negative equity caused mortgage arrears and people to stop paying their mortgages, it wasn't that. It was unemployment. It was the fact that they lost their job and couldn't pay. So while you feel bad if your house price has gone down or it's a negative equity, if you can still pay your mortgage, you can still have a roof mm-hmm. over your head. It's not as nice as the neighbour who just bought their house cheaper, but it's in. But what's really important for me is that we tried this experiment 10 or 15 years ago. We went into the last crisis with overvalued houses in Ireland. And for a sequence of events, they dropped dramatically by 50%. Confidence went out of the system, it went out of the banks, and basically we ended up with an unemployment of 20%, right? And a huge recession. And that was, as everyone knows, and you and I talked about it a lot at the time, that was incredibly painful. So what I'm actually more interested in hearing is not all everybody agreeing that we should bring down house prices, but it's, how do we do it?
Yeah.
How do we time it so that inflation will help those that own their houses? For example, an idea might be that the government intervention from today is only building apartments, right? If they only build apartments and put supply in that's apartments, people today listening that own houses will feel, well, at least the stock of houses isn't going up. So our values may not go down as much.
You remember from that time, the problem with negative equity really hits people who maybe in their early 30s, buy an apartment, get married, have a family, and because of negative equity, they are stuck there. And a lot of people went through years of that, bringing up a family in a one or two bedroom apartment. That's the real crunch point of negative equity, isn't it?
It's a number of different things, but that's one of them, right? And I guess what I was saying is that if you know that you can't do this overnight, I mean, realistically, any government that goes in whether it's this year or next year, trying to bring down house prices, it isn't going to happen in the first 5 years of that government significantly to the levels we're talking about. And probably shouldn't, because if it does, it will cause such an adjustment that we might actually spin back into unemployment and a recession. So we have to have a credible plan. It goes back to my 100,000 or whatever, to be able to do it in 5 or 6 years. The price reduction happens today, but not as dramatic as when all the supply is in there. And then your policies have to be targeted towards protecting people through that 5 years, whether it's people that are renting, whether it's people that are buying, as the supply comes on. But all of us have to understand that house prices in Ireland are overvalued. and they need to come down.
Yeah.
But if you wait a period of time, I mean, we all know, any of us that have owned a house, inflation eventually means that you can still sell your house for the same number of euros as you bought it for maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But it's just because money is worth less. And so you actually don't go into negative equity in that scenario, but you are getting less for your house in the future.
If you wait it out, you'll probably come out even, but it's not really even. It's just a different time.
You actually have lost because of inflation. Yes. But that's good, because that cohort of people feel a bit better about it, so they continue to participate in the economy and spend. But importantly, the people that want to buy, the people that want to move to trade into a larger house, whatever, for them, we have moved back our house prices to international norms. And I think actually one of the other things I was going to suggest today is that we should stop talking about house prices as an actual number, like 100,000 or 150,000. The French look at them per square meter, which is a much more easy way to compare and understand between different cities what the relative prices are. Now you're actually comparing by square meter between neighborhoods and different sizes of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So that the average value that Mary Lou or Leo or whoever is targeting is no longer 300,000. It's a number per square meter.
Yeah. It says a lot about how people view the housing crisis, that they're willing to accept this, that their property price will fall and they're okay with that. But housing always comes top of the list, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, for the last 2 years or so, housing has been the most important issue for voters. Even at the minute where the immigration issue is a particularly important issue, where 25% are identifying immigration as a very important issue, still twice that number are identifying housing as their top two. Even when they're asked what's going to be the most important issue for the next general election, yet again, housing is the number one issue for people. And it's particularly important, obviously, for Sinn Féin. And no doubt this is why Sinn Féin wanted to raise this particular issue, because when people are asked whether a Sinn Féin government would improve any particular policy area, very large numbers actually believe that Sinn Féin would improve the housing situation, far larger than the actual core Sinn Féin vote as well. So there's clearly a lot of people who don't actually support Sinn Féin who still believe Sinn Féin would actually improve the housing situation.
Yeah, just looking back at Dara O'Brien's letter, on the back of that policy announcement, he wrote to Owen O'Brien and said that home building could collapse. And this is interesting for you, John, because he highlighted how 2015 saw less than a quarter of 2022's output in terms of new homes completed. So he's relating it back to what happened at that time when properties fell by 30% in value.
Yeah, and look, I think the difference between the last time and now, right, is we've got a government that can spend 30 billion more a year, right? So they can actually intervene. Whereas in 2011 and 12, we were trying to take 3 billion out of the financial situation. So our hands were completely hamstrung to be able to actually do anything in any event at the time, to ease the banks, to give guarantees to banks and allow that person that's in negative equity to move to another home. So I think it's a different situation.
Spending doesn't seem to be the problem, because we see when we come to the end of each year in Housing for All that there's more money left over than was allocated. You know, they have plenty of money there. Can't spend it because of the workers.
We need a credible target, first of all, right, in terms of how many houses we're going to build. It's not going to happen tomorrow. No matter what any politician tells you, they're not going to start building 100,000 homes in 2025. But if we know we need to do that in 2030, if that's the earliest, we provide housing for foreign workers to actually come and build those houses. We had them here in the last crisis. We built 80,000 units a year in the last crisis. We provide the funding for people to be able to do that. I mean, there are ways to do it, but it won't happen tomorrow. And in 4 or 5 years, you could have an awful lot of people through apprenticeships, you know, in Irish, you know, colleges to actually build those houses. The 4 years between now and then, everybody still agrees with what the actual outcome needs to be, which is reducing the expensive nature of Irish homes. But we can't magic an answer overnight. Okay. And I just gotta be careful what we wish for. And we need to be very careful. Governing is different than being in opposition, as we all know. And there are a lot of consequences. But I just keep telling people today, just listen and learn from the mistakes we made the last time when we had that outcome of a 50% reduction.
Kevin, just before we finish, and you touched on this when it comes to migration, because migration and justice, of course, have been very much in the news over the last couple of months. And how do they feature in voter sentiment?
In general?
Yeah.
I mean, this is an interesting thing, because when we look at social desirability bias, the very fact that, just touching on this particular housing thing, some people think that particular housing result is a little overestimated. Perhaps people are just saying the sorts of things that they want to say, that they want to be heard by a pollster in those sort of housing questions. It's very much the case that people are very openly conservative when it comes to the issue of refugees and immigration. That sort of issue is definitely The way the public is shifting over the last couple of years has actually been very much towards the kind of conservative end of the spectrum. And as the issue becomes more and more salient, that particular kind of conservative end is increasing as well. And you can see that's increasing support for independent candidates. And generally speaking, it's very hard to depoliticise that issue as well.
But when it comes to what voters are concerned about, we're at 53% for housing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Compare that to migration, which is in the 20s.
Immigration would be 25%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Now, 25% is relatively quite high in Ireland. You know, if you go back 2 years, it would have been 3%. So we've been tracking that particular issue for a long period of time. And you can see every time there's a particular incident, such as the protests in rural areas, it seems to raise in terms of the relative importance of the issue, but it never seems to subside at any point. So every time there's an issue like the riots or the protests, the issue kind of goes up again. It takes another step up in terms of its importance. Like I've looked at this issue in a lot of individual countries, and it does seem to be the case that it's an issue that doesn't depoliticise. It just continues to ratchet up and up and up and influence the political system. And we can see that already, as I said, in our latest poll, support for independent candidates, for which a lot of that kind of vote is, went up to 17%, which is 6 points higher than it was 2 months ago.
And I think one finding from that poll, which I think people might find sad, is that the younger generation are more likely to say that Ireland is a failed state, which probably speaks to how they're experiencing housing, right?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely related to the housing issue. There's no doubt about that. When you look at age demographics, 18 to 24-year-olds, 69% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe that Ireland is bad in terms of the state of the country. That contrasts very sharply with those that are over 65, for which it's only 25%. So there's very much an age difference there. That also relates to the housing tenure. Those that are renters are far more likely to think the state of Ireland is bad. It also relates to health insurance. Those that have no health insurance also believe the state of Ireland is quite bad as well. While there's a kind of a narrative around the failed state sort of thing, I think there are very specific cohorts within society that are actually believe this to be the case, and perhaps justifiably in some respect, given the kind of housing issue and how that affects.
It's a huge problem for any government, especially for the next one, John.
Yeah, no, I think I always try and look at the positives, right? I mean, I think, you think about even the debate we're having, right? We all agree on the solution. We know our house prices are overpriced and we need to get them down into a more of an equilibrium with incomes, right? We have had an acknowledgement by effectively the ESRI and others now again that we aren't building enough houses or targeting enough, so we can ramp those up. And the most important thing, I think, from Kevin's survey, which I think is really valuable in the thing, is it shows that Irish people look to the broader common good. And even though it hurts them individually, the majority of them are prepared to make those sacrifices to get to the right answer. And I think the point is not now for the politicians to start splitting off into different groups, the populations, to bring them together and actually come up with a solution that we all know. You know, some of us will hurt, so there'll be losers, there'll be winners, but actually we know that there can be a solution to this. And I don't think it's a failed state.
Lots of listener feedback. Lots of listener feedback coming in on that, which I'll bring you in a little while. But for now, John Moore and Kevin Cunningham, thank you both very much for coming in. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.